Great show, man. Yeah, it's the principles of the STEM, the basics of the STEM. It's Jake Youssef Estes. It's just a great show. Every Friday at 2 p.m. Yeah, this is Islam Today with Sheikh Youssef Estes.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. May the peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, his last and final messenger. This is Youssef Estes, and we're with Islam Today. Alhamdulillah, today on Islam Today, we have as a very special guest our imam and brother from the Department of Corrections in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, Mutahhar Sabri. Assalamu alaikum, Mutahhar.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I feel very special to have you on the program today because if you recall a number of years ago when we were down going through some of the prisons in your area, that you were the one who really came up with the idea of having a radio program. So after all this time, I feel like that it's only fitting that we would have you on the program and you know, have you talk to us. You have such a radio voice.
You know, when I was in high school, and a sophomore in high school, the biology teacher told me that I should go into radio broadcasting.
Really?
But I never did.
Well, you are now. We're broadcasting right here in Falls Church, Virginia on IBN Network. And you can visit us on the internet at ibn.net. And today we're broadcasting almost live from right here at Islam Today. How do you like that phrase, almost live? So I would like to, if you don't mind, I would like to ask, give us some information, a little bit about what's going on in the prisons today, and give us some idea or sense of your expertise in this area.
Well, basically, I've been working as the imam or Muslim chaplain for the South Carolina Department of Corrections now since 1996. And I'm one of two Muslim chaplains for the department that services 27 facilities across the state. Those facilities consist of level 3 or maximum facilities, level 2 maximum, medium maximum, and then level 1, the minimum custody. And the total population of inmates in the South Carolina Department of Corrections numbers just slightly above 20,000 inmates, of which 5% of the population, or roughly 1,000 inmates, are practicing Muslims throughout the department.
MashaAllah.
So being that there are only two Muslim chaplains for the department, our responsibility entails having to service all of the facilities statewide with a small corps of volunteer chaplains from the various Muslim communities throughout South Carolina.
Let me ask you a question. I think our listeners are probably wondering the same thing. The statistics that you're projecting here for South Carolina, is this something that might be across the country as well, or is that unusually low or high?
I think that it is unusually low because of the fact that we don't have the type of service network in the facilities that we need. For example, in each prison in South Carolina, you have at least one Christian chaplain to provide for the Christian needs, but you have no Muslim chaplain, except for the two of us who have to travel around the country, around the state, pardon me.
Feels like the country.
It does. In fact, in South Carolina, a lot of it is the country. But I think that if that was different, if we did have institutional Muslim chaplains, it would make a tremendous difference and be a very, very powerful impact on the inmate population that would enable them to see, to really see Islam as an alternative lifestyle, to offering them an opportunity to reform their behavior while they're incarcerated.
What I'd like to ask you now, if you would mind, to compare to, for instance, New York's correctional facilities there, and say New Jersey, some of the other states, that if you can tell us from your experience how they are as far as Muslim population.
Yes, we in South Carolina are probably where New York was about 25 years ago. That is, they started with one chaplain, and then they immediately brought on a second chaplain, and those two chaplains were traveling all over the state of New York, having to service the needs of the inmate population. Since that time, the New York State of the Department of Corrections has multiplied tremendously to where I think of an inmate population of some 40,000 plus inmates, mm-hmm. about 17,000 of them are Muslims, and each correctional facility has at least one Muslim chaplain, full-time Muslim chaplain.
Have you visited a lot of the units in New York?
Well, about 25 years ago, I did have the opportunity to visit Sing Sing, Clinton Correctional.
Wait a minute, how long ago?
This was over 25 years ago.
25 years ago?
Yes.
You were a Muslim 25 years ago?
Yes. I've been a Muslim for 25 years. I took my Shahada in Connecticut, and the Imam at that time that I took my Shahada under, Nuruddin Faiz, was the first Muslim chaplain for the New York State Department of Corrections. So I had the opportunity to travel with him to some of the facilities.
So you broke into the prison business early on.
Early on. In fact, I used to be the contract chaplain for the Hartford Correctional Facility in Hartford, Connecticut.
Ask me when the last time I was in Hartford.
When were you there?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It always reminded me of a little city, a southern city placed in the north. But anyway,
South Hartford.
Yeah, Hartford. I lived there for 12 years, we used to visit the Women's Correction Facility in Niantic, Chester Youth
Hold
Facility.
Hold on a second. Hold up. The listeners are going, women? Muslim women in prison? What's that?
Yeah,
I know they're coming. So give us some background.
Well, actually, in South Carolina, we do have three women correctional facilities. However, the women's Muslim population is very, very small compared to the Muslim men.
Okay. Now, overall, this is a question that a lot of people ask me, because as being the national prison chaplain to go for whammy, I go to a lot of prisons and people ask me a lot of questions, so I'm going to ask them to you, though, because, it doesn't make a good dialogue if I talk to myself. But one of the things that people always ask is, as you know, they're going to say, well, how come these guys are supposed to be such great Muslims, then they go to prison?
And that's a legitimate question. However, the great majority of the Muslim inmate population are those inmates who found Islam after their incarceration. We do have a recidivism rate. Unfortunately, there have not been any national or even statewide statistics done on a regular basis to show how many repeat offenders are Muslim that return to the facility. But for the most part, the great majority of the inmate Muslims, they became Muslim after their incarceration.
That'll include the women as well.
And if even more so amongst the women.
Okay, well, we're having a great time here listening to our brother, Imam Mutahhir Sabri from the South Carolina Department of Corrections. And you're listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting to you almost live from IBN.net. Visit us on the internet at IBN.net. And by the way, while we're at it, don't forget to visit IslamToday.com.
Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Walhamdulillahi Kathira. Walhamdulillahi Kathira. Walhamdulillahi Kathira. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا
Allah is most great. Allah is most great. Allah is most great. Much praise is for Allah. Much praise is for Allah. Much praise is for Allah. And I declare the perfection of Allah in the early morning and in the late afternoon. This may be supplicated three times, and then say,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان من نفخه ونفثه وهمزه.
I take refuge with Allah from the devil, from his pride, his poetry, and his madness.
Okay, we're back and we're talking to Mutahhir Sabri with the South Carolina Department of Corrections. And not only is he a great imam, he is also my great friend, whom I love very much and like to kid him around and have a good time. But in fact, we'll tell everybody about what we're planning to do.
Well, we're going to be blessed to have our beloved brother Sheikh Yusuf Estes to visit us in Columbia, South Carolina. And he's going to be with us for a whirlwind tour of Dawah, a Dawah tour in South Carolina. We have approximately 12 prisons lined up to receive his visit. We're not only going to speak to the Muslims, but we're also arranging to speak to the general population, those persons who would choose to come and hear the message of Islam. He'll be doing the Salat al-Jumu'ah at the Islamic Center in Columbia this Friday. And we have tentative speaking engagements scheduled at Benedict College, the University of South Carolina, and then a scheduled speaking engagement at Clemson University. We also will be doing some Dawah training at the Columbia Islamic Center and the Clemson Masjid. So it's a full week of activity that we're looking forward to kicking off tomorrow. And we pray that Allah will bless us to be successful, inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen, Ya Rab. Let me ask you now a question. I'm sure some of the listeners would like to know, what is it that attracts people in prison to Islam? What is it about? Is it some like a club, a clique, a fraternity, a gang mentality? What is it that attracts these people to go to Islam in prison?
Well, we found that there are many and varied reasons why an inmate would turn to Islam. But for the most part, I believe the underlying factor or reason for which they choose Islam is because it addresses the need for justice in their life, where that which they believed in before or where they may have not had any faith did not address that need for justice. And so Islam, being a religion or the way of life that not only encourages piety or taqwa, as Allah Almighty says in the Quran, that piety and taqwa is, or justice is next to piety and taqwa. So that is a big factor. Another factor is the simplicity of the teachings and the knowledge, the profound knowledge of one's purpose and the discipline that comes along with being a Muslim. It really helps them to put their life back in order.
The word taqwa that you're speaking here to our audience about, some of them may not be familiar with the Arabic language, or they may have heard the word taqwa and just said piety, because frequently this is the translation that we're giving to people. We say piety or piousness. In reality, the word taqwa is meaning to put a shield between you and something.
That's right.
So, but at the same time, how would we use a word like that when we're talking about Allah? Can I put a shield between myself and Allah?
What we're actually talking about is putting a shield between ourselves and the displeasure of Allah when we disobey Allah, and also putting a shield between ourselves and the shaitan, or the enemy of Allah and a human being.
Very well said. I like the way you did that. That's why you're the imam.
Allah knows best.
The word mutaki means one who has taqwa.
That's right.
That's what all of us would like to be. We'd like to be mutaki'in.
Indeed.
So
may Allah make it so.
I mean, so we're back to this subject now of talking about why people would accept Islam in prison. Now, in my experience in the federal units, what I found is that sometimes an inmate will realize that he's in big danger when he becomes incarcerated, because he has no gang to back him up anymore. He's on his own, and he finds himself alone with strangers. And he could be not just mentally abused, he can be physically messed up in a hurry. So I'm wondering how many people would, let's say, go to Islam because they know of the brotherhood and the protection they would receive just by being a part of the organization.
And that is another important factor that we find. However, as the Islamic Affairs section of the department, we try to encourage new Muslims or persons who have not yet converted to Islam, or reverted to Islam, as we like to say, that they not come to Islam solely for that reason alone. While we know that that Islam encourages a collective consciousness, the Muslim inmate population are a readily identifiable group. Oftentimes, they carry a lot of weight and influence within the general population that is respected by the institutional administration. We try to guide them to not abuse that type of power, if I may use that word, or influence, so that they would then be mistakenly viewed as a gang.
Mm-hmm.
Because the quite naturally, you know, Islam, as we know, does have enemies, and there are those who would like to think that, or like to portray that Muslims in general, and even Muslims in the prison, are in fact a gang representation. And that's where we do have problems now, occasionally.
You're not going to use the word terrorist, are you?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, thank you so
not.
Much for that.
But
thank you so much for that.
We do have a problem with those who call themselves 5%ers, sometimes being lumped into the Muslim population.
Okay, now you've opened up a new subject. I want to come back to that in just a minute. I'll take a little break here and mention that you are listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting through the courtesy of IBN, Islamic Broadcasting Network. You can find us on the internet at ibn.net. And by the way, I'm going to put a little trailer on there. Don't forget to visit islamtoday.com while you're visiting on the internet and see our website.
اللهم إني أسألك بأن لك الحمد لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك المنان يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم إني أسألك الجنة وأعوذ بك من النار.
O Allah, I ask you, as unto you is all praise. None has the right to be worshipped except you alone, without partner. You are the benefactor. O originator of the heavens and the earth, O possessor of majesty and honor, O ever-living, O self-subsisting and supporter of all, verily I ask you for paradise, and I take refuge with you from the fire.
I want to come back to our subject of Islam in the prisons, and we're visiting with the prison chaplain from the South Carolina Department of Corrections, our imam, and my dear friend, Mutahhir Sabri. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Let's jump back on that subject a little bit before we go out. I would like us to think about what you introduced there, which is the subject of these various sects of Islam or divisions in Islam, groups or whatever you want to call them. And talk to us a little bit about what's in the prisons, what's happening there as far as these groups. What's there?
Basically, there are a myriad of different groups or sects of Islam in the prisons. You have the Nation of Islam group, you have the 5%ers group, you have the Shia influence, and then of course you have those who are striving to follow the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who follow the teachings of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the best of their ability.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam means
God's peace and blessings be upon the Prophet, which is what we say whenever we mention his name or his office.
Right.
And this is a commandment given to us by Allah, because Allah says that he and his angels send peace upon him, so we should also.
Right. Back to the groups.
So these groups exist for various reasons. There's sometimes literature that's made available to them for free that's sent in. The 5% movement, or 5% nation as it is called, is a really it's a heresy or a heretical movement that was an offshoot from the Nation of Islam, and it has really garnered a very, very negative reputation in free society as well as in the prisons. In fact, anyone that is considered a 5%er in the prisons, he actually is looking at lockup, because they're considered a security threat group due to the fact that their literature promotes violence, it promotes you know, the use of drugs, while they're using certain Islamic terminology. They may use the term Allah, they may use the term Salah, you know, but they don't really practice the teachings of Islam. They don't practice the acts of worship. And so they're just using this as a front to promote their own gang representation.
So that's their agenda then?
Yes.
So, well, let me ask you a question. Is this the kind of mentality that can perpetrate acts of terrorism? I'm kind of coming back to that because everybody keeps asking me about these subjects.
To be quite honest with you, I don't think that they could perpetrate any kind of acts of terrorism much worse than than the things that they've already done to be locked up for. Because a lot of things that they do are based in their, you know, the drug culture, you know, the gangster hip-hop culture that is prevalent in this society. But to do such a thing as a terrorist act, that's out of their league.
Okay, so these are nickel and dime guys.
Yes.
I see.
And Allah knows best.
Allah knows best. You're right about that. Well, let me ask this. I want to go back to these groups and things. You mentioned the term in Arabic, Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Give us some sense of what the meaning would that be in English.
According to the best of my understanding, the meaning of the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah means the people of the Sunnah, that is the people who follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad, the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Jama'ah, meaning those who stick to that as a group, or collectively, who follow the way of the Prophet, peace be upon him, his companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, and the successors of that generation,
mm-hmm.
The Tabi'in and Tabi'in. These are the predecessors who we refer to sometimes with the term the Salaf, or those who went before us, our righteous predecessors, about whom the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said are the best generation of people. And so when we say Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are generally speaking about those who are sticking very, very closely to the teaching of the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay, could this be considered radical or fundamentalist kind of a movement to do that today? I mean, obviously, you know, following the Prophet at the time, peace be upon him, at the time he was here, it'd be naturally correct. But what about now saying something like this too?
First, we have to understand that the nature of the teachings of Islam are such that they apply to all time periods and all places. And just like the teaching that our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave over 14 centuries ago was good for Arabia and good for the world at that time, those same teachings are good for today, in any place in the world, in today's time.
You're talking about principles now, though. I'm saying that, okay, I understand, because he taught us to be clean, taught us to be fair, taught us to be honest, taught us to be charitable, to be good to our neighbors, and to be peaceful people, and yet at the same time, there is a teaching in Islam that talks about that you can fight.
And this is not different from other monotheistic faiths, such as Judaism or Christianity. If you read their books, there is a call for jihad in those books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in the Bible.
Listen, for the viewers, the listeners, sorry, I'm new to our TV show. Tell us, what is jihad? What does that mean?
Jihad, actually, the linguistic meaning of the word jihad is struggle in any way that one can. And when we speak of it in terms of Islamic law, we're talking about struggle for the cause of God. And it's various levels of jihad or struggle. It is a struggle with oneself, a struggle against the weaknesses of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a struggle with one's family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a struggle, to purify the family, to guide the family. And then there's a struggle in the community and in the nation or the world. So it's not always on a physical level or military level that jihad is interpreted or practiced. Actually, the first level is with the word, with the spoken word that begins in our heart. And then, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you see a wrong, you must correct the wrong with your hand. And if you cannot correct it with your hand, then you correct it with your tongue. And if you cannot do that, then at least hate it in your heart. And that is the weakest of faith. So jihad has different levels. And the highest of them, of course, is the physical level, when one is willing to sacrifice his whole life for the sake of Allah. For the Quran, the truth of the Quran and the Sunnah of his Prophet be upheld.
I think, though, if you look through your own background and the inmates that you've dealt with, I know in my case, that when inmates are first inducted into Islam or they come into Islam, they have a tendency to kind of overcompensate for the years that they've been in the wrong way, and they go to extremes, and sometimes they take things literal. And I think maybe that's some of the problems we've got on people on the outside as well. What do you think about that?
That's a good observation, and it very well may be the case. I think that with the inmate population, it's a lot easier to control and to guide it, to guide that feeling or that sentiment to the correct understanding and practice of Islam, more so than with the Muslim understanding in the free society. And that's where it comes the responsibilities of the imams and the da'is throughout the Muslim communities to represent Islam and to represent the Sharia and the terms such as jihad correctly, according to the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of our beloved Prophet ﷺ.
Very good. And I have a hunch that maybe we're really touching on something good. I look forward to a chance to go into this more and look forward to this in the future. Do you think it's possible you could be on our program again in the future?
Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills.
We would love to have you up.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to being down there with you guys too for the next couple of weeks, and then who knows what will happen next.
Inshallah.
For all of you listening, you're listening to Islam Today. We're broadcasting to you almost live on IBN, the IBN network. That's Islamic Broadcasting Network. You can find us on the internet at IBN.net. And here comes the little free commercial for me. And don't forget to visit IslamToday.com, where we're always open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking. We've enjoyed being with you today. We've enjoyed having our guest with us, the Imam from the South Carolina Department of Corrections, Mutahhir Sabri.
Thank you.
Jazakallah khair.
Wa yaakum.
May Allah increase you in all that is
Inshallah.
Good.
And
for all of our listeners, may Allah guide, guard, and protect you and bring you to the right faith in the strongest way. Ameen. May Allah forgive me for my shortcomings and bring us all back together in this life in the good, and then in the next life in a better place. Ameen. And until then, this is your host, Yusuf Estes, saying Assalamu alaikum. Remember, Islam today.
اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم.
O Allah, I have indeed oppressed my soul excessively, and none can forgive sin except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from yourself, and have mercy upon me. Surely you are the most forgiving, the most merciful.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.